We
are reading in the writings of Baal HaSulam, page 471 in the Hebrew book, the speech for the completion of the Zohar. We can ask questions on KabbalahGroup.info and the Arvut system. If you're asking a question, please keep the mic close to your mouth and speak loudly and clearly. It is known that the purpose of the Torah and mitzvot is to adhere to the Creator, as it's written, and to cleave unto Him. And we should understand what is the meaning of this adhesion in the Creator, since you cannot grasp Him by thought. Indeed, our sages preceded me with this question. That interpreted the writing and to adhere to Him. And how can you adhere to Him, since He is consumed by fire? And they say, cleave unto His qualities. As He is merciful, so are you merciful.
This is perplexing. How did our sages drift from the literal text? After all, it is explicitly written and to adhere to Him. Had the meaning been to adhere to His qualities, it would have been written adhere to His ways. So why does it say and to adhere to Him? The thing is that in corporeality, which takes up space, we understand dvekut, adhesion, as proximity of place. And we understand separation as remoteness of place. But in spirituality, which does not occupy any space, dvekut, adhesion, and separation do not mean proximity or remoteness of place, since they do not occupy any space. Rather, we understand dvekut as equivalence of form between two spirituals, and we understand separation as disparity of form between two spirituals. As the axe cuts and separates a corporeal object into two, by removing the parts from one another, disparity of form distinguishes the spiritual and divides it in two. If the disparity of form is great, if the disparity of form between them is small, we say that they are a little far from one another. If the disparity of form is great, we say that they are very far from one another. If they are of opposite forms, we say that they are as far from each other as two extremes. For example, when two people hate each other, it is said about them that they are as separated from one another as the east from the west. And if they love each other, it is said about them that they are as attached to one another as a single body. This does not concern nearness or remoteness of location. Rather, it is about equivalence of form or disparity of form. This is so because when people love each other, it is because there is equivalence of form between them. Because one loves everything that one's friend loves and hates all that one's friend hates, they are attached to one another and love one another. However, if there is any disparity of form between them, and one loves something even though one's friend hates that thing, they are hateful of each other and remote from one another to the extent of their disparity of form. And if they are opposite, so that everything that one loves, one's friend hates, it is said about them that they are as remote and as separate as the East from the West. You find that disparity of form in spirituality acts like the axe that separates incorporeality. Similarly, the measure of remoteness of location and the measure of the separation in them depends on the measure of disparity of form between them. Also, the measure of dvikut, adhesion between them, depends on the measure of equivalence of form between them. Now we understand how right our sages were when they interpreted the verse and to adhere to him as dvikut with his qualities. As he is merciful, so you are merciful. As he is compassionate, so you are compassionate. They did not deflect the text from the literal meaning. Quite the contrary. They interpreted the text precisely according to its literal meaning, since spiritual dvikut can only be depicted as equivalence of form. Hence, by equalizing our form with the form of his qualities, we become attached to him. This is why they said, as he is merciful. In other words, as all his actions are to bestow and benefit others, and not at all for his own benefit, since he has no deficiencies that require complete complementing. And also, he is no one from whom to receive. Similarly, all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit others. Thus, you will equalize your form with the form of the qualities of the Creator. And this is spiritual dvikut. There is a discernment of mind and a discernment of heart in the above-mentioned equivalence of form. The engagement in Torah and mitzvot, commandments, in order to bestow contentment upon one's Maker, is equivalence of form in the mind. This is so because the Creator does not think of himself, whether he exists or whether he watches over his creations, and other such doubts. Similarly, one who wishes to achieve equivalence of form must not think of these things as well, when it is clear to him that the Creator does not think of them, since there is no greater disparity of form than that. Hence, anyone who thinks of such matters is certainly separated from him and will never achieve equivalence of form. This is what our sages said. Let all your actions be for the sake of the Creator. That is, dvikut with the Creator. Do not do anything that does not yield this goal of dvikut. This means that all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit your fellow person. At that time, you will achieve equivalence of form with the Creator. As all his actions are to bestow and to benefit others, so you, all your actions will be only to bestow and to benefit others. This is the complete Dvikut. We could ask about it. How can one's every action be to benefit others? After all, one must work to sustain oneself and one's family. The answer is that those deeds that one does out of necessity to receive one's bare necessities for sustenance, that necessity is neither praised nor condemned. This is not considered doing something for oneself whatsoever. Anyone who delves into the heart of things will certainly be surprised at how one can achieve complete equivalence of form, so all one's actions will be to give to others, while man's every very essence is only to receive for oneself. By nature, we are unable to do even the smallest thing to benefit others. Instead, when we give to others, we are compelled to expect that in the end, we will receive a worthwhile reward. If one as much as doubts the reward, one will refrain from acting. Thus, how can one's every action be only to bestow upon others and not at all for oneself? Indeed, I admit that this is a very difficult thing. One cannot change the nature of one's creation, which is only to receive for oneself, much less invert one's nature from one extreme to the other, meaning not to receive anything for oneself, but rather act only to bestow. Yet, this is why the Creator gave us Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, which we were commanded to do only in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator. Had it not been for the engagement in Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, for her sake, to bring contentment to the Creator with them, and not to benefit ourselves, there would have been no tactic in the world that could help us invert our nature. Now you can understand the rigorousness of engaging in Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, for her sake. If one's intention in Torah and Mitzvot is not to benefit the Creator, but to benefit oneself, not only will the nature of the will to receive in him not be inverted, but rather the will to receive in him will be much more than what he was given by nature of his, by the nature of his creation. As I explained in the introduction to the Sulam commentary. But what are the virtues of one who has been rewarded with adhesion with the Creator? They are not specified anywhere, except in subtle intimations. Yet, to clarify the matters in my essay, I must disclose a little, as much as necessary. I will explain the matters through an allegory. The body, with its organs, are one. The whole of the body exchanges thoughts and sensations which, with each of its organs. For example, if the whole body thinks that a certain organ should serve it and please it, this organ immediately knows that thought and provides the contemplated pleasure. Also, if an organ thinks and feels that the place it is in is narrow, the rest of the body immediately knows that thought and sensation and moves it to a comfortable place. However, should an organ be cut off from the body, they become two separate entities. The rest of the body no longer knows the needs of the separated organ. And the organ no longer knows the thoughts of the body to serve it and to benefit it. But if a physician came and reconnected the organ to the body as before, the organ would once again know the thoughts and needs of the rest of the body. And the rest of the body would once again know the needs of the organ. According to this allegory, we can understand the merit of one who has been rewarded with dvikut, with the Creator. I have already demonstrated in the introduction to the Book of Zohar and in my commentary on the Idra Zuta that the soul is an illumination that extends from his self. This illumination has been separated from the Creator by the Creator's clothing it with a will to receive. This is so because the thought of creation to do good to his creations created in each soul a desire to receive pleasure. Thus, this disparity of form of the will to receive separated that illumination from his self and turned it into a separate part from him.
It follows that each soul was indeed in his self prior to its creation. But with creation, meaning along with the nature of the desire to receive pleasure that has been instilled in it, it acquired disparity of form and was separated from the Creator, whose only wish is to bestow. This is so because, as we have explained above, disparity of form separates in spirituality as the axe does in corporeality.
What do we have for today?
Dudi.
Today we have an afternoon lesson. We meet here. That's the focus in H10. We'll read the article for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll read you stand before you. Stand all of you before. And we've received an assignment from Rav. How do we stay on the path? How can we advance on the path? Hold and support one another, which is mainly through the connections between us. We'll have an assignment and an exercise for all of us.
So we have more subtle discernment. In this, more precise discernments. This will really advance us now. Okay. Any questions? None.
Baruch?
This is as usual. More? None. All right, ask.
Maybe something new. In the equivalence of form, there's the quality of brain, quality of heart. Please help me understand, what is the difference?
We haven't read it yet. He only said that there are two discernments, mind and heart, in equivalence of form.
So what is mind? What's the problem that a person thinks?
This we will have to read later. We haven't read it now.
No, we just read it. No?
So what are you asking?
asking. He says he doesn't think by himself. If he is there, if he oversees his creation, and if a person thinks like that, it's a problem. Well, why is that a problem that a person has such thoughts? Do I exist or not? What is the problem there?
I guess it bothers the will to receive. It disturbs the will to receive from being adhered to the Creator this way.
These thoughts, he says in mind, if a person thinks of himself, if I exist or not, but the Creator doesn't think whether or not he exists.
Yes.
So why is that a problem? It's natural for a person.
If a person wants to be adhered to the Creator, it separates him from the Creator.
Thank you.
Okay, no, I'm not talking about the article itself, but in general, yes?
Maybe nevertheless, before we end with the assignment Dudi described, maybe we can clarify it. What are we leaving for the day with?
This is for you to decide. Should I tell you what to think about, what to feel, what to aim for? No. You have to decide this. Each one should check within him what is important to him, what is important specifically today.
Ken?
Yes? This we need to think about each day. What is important for me today?
Tov, as Moshe.
Okay, so Moshe, summarize and conclude it.
One announcement, our schedule for today, 12 to 1, the afternoon lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman. And we'll conclude with a song.
Lo ira libi, lo ira libi, lo ira libi. Im takum alay milchama, oy milchama. Im takum alay milchama, oy milchama. Bezot ani boteach, 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 bezot ani boteach.